I saw that, of course, you have a multi-million dollar brand, and something about selling 70,000 units of this mega grow hair serum in 2 days. Is that right? Like, how did that happen?
I mean, what happened was we had sold out, so there were people preparing for the restock. So as soon as we sent them that text message, like, everyone flew to the website.
So hold up. So you've been in business for 4 years. Does that mean you started during like the pandemic?
Yes, I started in 2019.
Nice. Okay, so right before the pandemic,
the
really
pandemic hit. Yes.
Yeah. Was it a large investment initially to start the brand?
Well, to make the products, no, it wasn't. But our first advertisement, it cost $2,000, and that was very challenging to find because initially we were in the natural ear and support group on Facebook. But when I realized that, okay, this can become a business, but at the same time, I need to get that word out. You know, I had reached out to a popular media page on Instagram, and they quoted me $2,500 for a promo on their account. And I was still working as a waitress at the time, but for some reason, it's like my money just couldn't get beyond $2,000. So I reached back out to them 2 months afterwards, and bear in mind too, I started going into that money. So I had to use a portion of my rent that I have for the next month to make it up back to that $2,000.
Right.
So I reached out to them and I said, hey, I know you guys quoted me $2,500 2 months ago, but I only have $2,000 and I really want to get the word about, you know, out for the brand. And they were happy to work with me, and they did. And within like 24 hours, like, we made $4,800.
Welcome to the Friends in Beauty podcast, a safe space for ambitious beauty industry creatives to have real talk, get authentic answers, and practical tools to grow their businesses. Join me every week as me and my special guests reveal the keys to longevity and success in the beauty industry, from the ups and downs of their journey to the nitty-gritty of their struggles and triumphs. We're spilling the tea on it all, and most importantly, having fun while doing it. You ready?
Hey, what's up? It's your best friend in beauty, Akuia Robinson. Welcome back to another episode of the Friends in Beauty podcast. I am so happy to have you here, and I hope you're listening to this episode in high spirits and in good health. Now, on today's episode, I had the pleasure of having Charisse Williams in the Friends in Beauty guest chair. Charisse is the CEO of the multi-million dollar hair care brand Black Luxury. Black Luxury offers a solution for those suffering with dry, brittle hair and hair loss. With a keen dedication to research and formulating her own non-toxic natural products from the comfort of her living room, Charisse has been disrupting the natural hair care category for 4 years now, and her products just speak for themselves, and I'm so excited to talk about it. Welcome to the Friends of Beauty podcast, Charisse.
Thank you so much for having me.
I'm so excited. Does that sound about right about what you do?
Yes.
good. Well, before we jump into all the good stuff, we're just going to start off with some icebreakers to warm us up so we get to know you a little bit outside of what you do for your brand. Mm-hmm. So the first one, just give us 3 random facts about you.
Charisse is a creative person. She's a visionary and she likes to cook.
Creative, visionary, and likes to cook. What's your go-to dish?
Jerk chicken.
Jerk chicken. Okay.
I mean, I'm from the islands, Jamaica, so yeah.
I love me some ackee and saltfish.
Oh yeah, I love ackee and saltfish too.
My father is from Trelawney.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's like 4 hours away from me, Kingston.
Oh, you're from Kingston?
Okay. Yes.
I always tease people if you come to the States and, you know, somebody says they're Jamaican, everybody says they're from Kingston. So I like to tease people like, you really from Kingston? Okay. Let's see. Do you have any siblings?
Yes, I do. 2 sisters.
2 sisters. Where do you fall?
I'm the first one. You're I'm first? The oldest, yes.
Wow. Is there a lot of pressure on you as the oldest?
Not really. I think the biggest pressure is just to ensure that I'm a positive role model in their life.
Okay. I love that. What is the biggest, I guess, when you moved to the States, what was something that you experienced or realized that it wasn't true, like from being in Jamaica then coming to the States?
That it's a bed of roses.
It's definitely not a bed of roses.
It is not a bed of roses. And, you know, like before I migrated to the US, on television, you would see like all the glory, but when you get here, it's a whole different thing.
I say the same thing about Jamaica, though, too. I always tell people, like, it's really nice. You know, you go to the resorts and everything, but if you zoom out, like, if you just zoom out a little bit, you'll see, you know, what it really
Yes,
looks like.
true.
And it's like that with the states, too. They show you all the pretty things, even where I live in DC. So even where I live, if you go to the White House, of course, it's all, you know, nice and clean, but literally blocks from the White House is like tents of homeless people from the White House. So it's always like that. What do people always tell you that you're good at aside from what you do professionally?
Drawing.
Drawing?
Yeah, I draw very well, and I get a lot of compliments on, you know, like artistic works that I've done, but it's just never something that I follow up with, like make it be a passion or, but if like let's say I have a project to do, I will execute it very well.
Nice. Are you into graphics too?
Yes.
That's really cool. I like that. So
Yes.
you are creative. That's that creative spirit.
Yes.
Okay. When is the last time that you did something for the first time? Have you had any new experiences lately?
Yes, I'm not sure if this would be really like an experience, but my first time traveling to Mexico.
Okay.
Yes, traveling to Mexico, which was different for me because like I only really know the US and Jamaica, so it was like going to a new country for me.
Yeah. What part of Mexico did you go to?
Cancun.
Oh, nice. Okay. I've only been to Mexico one time and I didn't go to Cancun, but I was very surprised by how nice it was.
It is very pretty.
Okay, she traveled to Mexico. So if you weren't the CEO of Black Luxury, is there anything else you could see yourself doing right now?
Yes, being a financial analyst.
Okay. Yeah, I
Yes,
saw you
I'm
had
very.
a accounting degree. Nice.
Yes.
Financial analyst. So that means that you do pretty good with the numbers for your
With
brand.
numbers.
I like that. See, that's one thing that a lot of creatives struggle with, but not you. So you're creative, but you also know how to deal with the money.
Yes. And
I
I
like
used to work at a bank too in Jamaica.
it. Nice. Doing what?
I was a teller.
Me too. I used to be a teller back in the day.
Okay, I used to work at Scotiabank in Jamaica.
Okay. Yep. I was a teller for at least 2.5 years. And now, then I got to the point where I was like, I don't want to be touching all this money anymore. Like it's so much responsibility, just to handle it properly and everything like that. So too much
It
pressure.
is. It is.
All right. Thanks for sharing with us. So I just want to go ahead and jump into it. I saw that, of course, you have a multi-million dollar brand. And something about selling 70,000 units of this Mega Grow hair serum in 2 days. Is that right?
Yes.
Like, how did
Yes.
that happen?
I mean, what happened was, we had sold out, so there were people preparing for the restock. So as soon as we sent them that text message, like everyone flew to the website.
So hold up. So you've been in business for 4 years. Does that mean you started during like the pandemic?
Yes, I started in 2019.
Nice. Okay. So right before the pandemic
The
really hit.
pandemic hit, yes.
Great. So what attributed to the growth of the brand to reach, I mean, to just to be able to sell that one product so quick in 2 days?
I mean, when you have a great product, you know, that speaks for itself, you're going to have a lot of people that's also recommending the product to, you know, other people. And I think that's one of our strongest points is that we grew organically. You know, that we did some paid ads as well, but for the most part, it was organic growth, a lot of word of mouth. Our products are priced affordable as
Yeah.
well, and it's great quality. So we do get a lot of traffic to our website via word of mouth.
I love that. Good old word of mouth. It still works.
It still works.
What was ultimately your inspiration for starting the brand?
My inspiration for starting the brand was actually trying to find a healthier solution for myself. In 2018, I was diagnosed with PCOS, which is polycystic ovary syndrome. And one of the adverse effects that it has was it made my hair extremely brittle and was always shedding. And at the time, I was working as a waitress here in the States. And a lot of the products that the doctor actually recommended for me to use was kind of out of my budget. So I kind of incorporated some of my roots from Jamaica into the manufacturing process of my products. And that's when I made the first hair growth oil inside of my kitchen.
Whoa. Okay. So got to take a step back. Okay. So PCOS was ultimately the inspiration because of, I guess, the effects it was having on your hair.
Yes.
So the effects that it was having on your hair, was it due to the PCOS or was it due to whatever? Did they put you on any medication or anything like that?
No. Well, PCOS is like an endocrine disorder.
Okay.
So it's not really something that can cure in its sense. It's like it affects the hormones inside of your body. So it's like you can try to alleviate the symptoms, but not cure it. So at the time, they were recommending to use shampoos without sulfates or, you know, like more organic and natural type of products. So that's how I actually, you know, decided to make my own products because what I was like, quote unquote, prescribed, I couldn't afford it.
Wow. How much were they costing?
I mean, like $40, but it was a lot for me.
Yeah, I mean, because it's something that you got to keep on using.
Yeah, you got to keep on using it. So spending $40 and $50 on a shampoo, that's a lot.
Wow. I don't know much about PCOS or anything. Are there any common hormone disruptors or anything
yes,
like that?
Okay. A whole lot. Not just only it affects your hair. Sometimes it does affect the quality of your life, too. It can lead into major depression, like acne on your face, cystic acne. A lot of women have irregular period. A lot of women are also infertile, unable to have kids as well. Some might experience like growth of hair underneath their like chin area, you know, like on their legs and in their chest. So sometimes it does take a toll like on your physical appearance, you know, which can lead to depression.
Right.
So there are a lot of symptoms surrounding PCOS. And the thing is that it's not one of the most talked about, I wouldn't say like a disease, but it's just, there's not a lot of awareness around it.
Yeah. Hey, friend, I really need your help with something. I'm planning to host my very first travel retreat in 2024, and this is why. I live in DC, but I love to travel. My last few trips, I've gone to Mexico, Jamaica, the Dominican Republic, but I'm starting to get that urge to hop on a plane again very soon. And I've been thinking about what I want for myself and what I want for Friends in Beauty in 2024, and that is to make a bigger impact and build deeper connections while doing the things that we love. Like, what better way to do that than on a bomb trip, making new memories together, learning from one another, experiencing new cultures, and laying out in the sun? What I really want is for us to get into the habit of resting, recalibrating, and celebrating ourselves more. We work so hard on a day-to-day basis, and I want this experience to be an all play, no work type of vibe. You feel me? I'm ready to have some fun and I want you to come along with me. Instead of catching all the highlights on my Instagram and YouTube, all you have to do is fill out a brief 2-minute survey to let me know where we should go, what your budget is, and the best time of year and what you want to do. I'll leave the link here and below in the show notes. I am super duper excited to collaborate with you on this. Let's make this retreat happen and get your passports ready because we're getting up out of here.
Wow. And there are so many women, you know, with these symptoms and they don't know what it is because I never knew what it was.
Do you think that, because me and my best friend were having this conversation, it might have been, I don't know if it was PCOS that we were talking about or just something else, that it was like 1 in every 4 women have it. Do you think it's something that we've probably been using since, like, just stuff that us girls use as young ladies up until adulthood that we've been using like all our lives that might be, you know, contributing to it? Or is it genetic? Or like, what do you think?
I think it's primarily genetic.
Okay.
My mother doesn't have it, but my aunt, unfortunately, she passed away. She had endometrial cancer. She didn't know she had PCOS. Mm-hmm. And like her cycles were irregular. She didn't check that out and it led up to her having endometrial cancer. She passed. But it can be like a genetic, like through your mom, your maternal side, your mom or your aunt, or or even our grand aunt.
Yeah.
So it's mostly genetic.
Wow. Well, I'm learning so much already. I definitely have to look into this.
Yes.
So just based off of the doctor's recommendations, you was like, I'm going to make up my own stuff. How did your
Yes.
Jamaican roots aid in whatever ingredients that you chose to add to the products?
So one of the first ingredient that I decided to use was the Jamaican black castor oil, because in Jamaica, they use it if your hair is not growing.
My mother definitely used that on me when I was little, 'cause I had like very like thin hair, and she used it to
Yes.
like thicken my hair.
Yes, they'll put it like in your shampoo back in Jamaica, or your conditioner, in your ear growth, well, ear grease that we use. So that was like one of the primary ingredient that I decided to incorporate in my product. And also during that process too, I was able to find, I wasn't working with like a big manufacturing company at the time, but there was this guy, this Jamaican guy, he was a chemist. And he was the one that was supplying me with the Jamaican black castor oil that he got directly from Jamaica. Because you have castor oil and Jamaican black castor oil. Like, there is a difference. The castor oil is like clear, but the Jamaican black castor oil is dark in color and it's roasted. So, it was good for me that I was able to, even though I'm in the States, still have access to it.
Yeah, that's really cool. Did you ever imagine, just from you making this for yourself, that it was going to grow to be something this big?
No, I didn't. Because I was just like looking for a solution for myself. But I was in a natural hair group on Facebook at the time, and there were so many women that had similar concerns that I did. Like, it's not necessarily PCOS that they have, but like people will, but people always want their hair to grow. So there were a lot of women say, "Oh, do you guys know any like good hair growth oils can recommend, or any product that can sustain their hair?" So that's when I made my pitch into the group. And I didn't even have an intention to sell it. There was no price point or anything, as long as you cover shipping, because it was a natural hair support group. So I wasn't like going in there to get business. But they didn't want me to just ship them the product. They wanted to me to but actually to support me and buy the product from me. So that's where the price point really came in.
Nice. I love that. Those Facebook groups, they be
Yes, back in the days, they were very helpful.
Yeah, they had like Facebook groups. They used to have forums and stuff like that, the
Yes.
natural hair community. Had you tried anything entrepreneurial before?
Yes, and they failed. This is the first thing that made sense.
Okay.
When I was in Jamaica, I was trying to sell swimwears as well.
Okay.
It didn't go
Because you were
anywhere.
in Kingston, where the beach at?
I mean, we have beach in like 20 minutes away from us. There's a city called Portmore. There's
Okay.
beach over there. But I think the reason why it failed was because like there was just no marketing plan or anything behind it. It's just like, and I was buying stuff on Amazon and even, on other sites. And like it was just too much to mark up those prices and sell it. So it just failed miserably.
So when you decide, so what, okay, so what made you decide to make this a brand?
When I realized that, there are a lot of women, one, that had the same issues that I have, and that there was a gap in the next in the textured hair community. If you should go to like stores like Walmart and Target, you will see that, for the ethnic hair section, it is relatively small in comparison to our counterparts. So I've decided, to fill that white space and that gap, because we don't really have a lot of options or choices for our hair.
For sure, for sure. So when you decide to make this a brand, seeing as though that you had tried something entrepreneurial before, how intentional, like what were you intentional about doing differently with this brand and your other entrepreneurial endeavor?
So with this brand, I ensured that I had one, a marketing plan.
Okay.
A marketing plan. I also onboarded a team of people that can help me in areas that, stuff that I don't know how to do. I may be good with the finances, but at the same time, I'm not good with, like, let's say the marketing. So I have someone that can assist with that. I'm not good with, I mean, I'm good with, I know what I want to see, like for the creatives, but at the same time, I don't have the time to sit down and do every graphic work for the company. I have someone can do it. So for what, in any area that I will fall short or I need assistance with, I ensure that I have that part covered.
Was that something that you did gradually, like adding people, onboarding people onto the team? Got you. Who'd you hire first?
A marketing.
The marketing person.
Yes,
That would be me, because I feel
gonna be.
like I don't lack ideas. Like I have lots of ideas for products and things like that. But where I feel like I fall short is probably like the marketing and then promoting it for people to actually like buy it.
Yes, because you gotta still understand that even though it's a small niche of business, but at the same time, you still gotta, stand out. Marketing is gonna be the only driving tool that's gonna let people know about your product.
Sure, for sure. Oh my gosh. So, have there been any challenges in operating the business so far that you've encountered?
Yes. Yes.
Like what?
Finding a good marketing manager.
Okay. Going through the trial and error.
Yes. Because again, our niche of business is different from our counterparts, so you got to find someone that's experienced in textured your beauty that can promote your brand or can create a marketing plan for your brand as well. I used to also have challenges with warehouse staff, like we used to be changing out like regularly, people not showing up to work. So, and that is one of the biggest challenges that we have overcome right now. We're trying to scale the company, so we have decided to pivot to a fulfillment center. Like we still have like three girls right now that have been here since the start, but we want to grow bigger. And I know that they're not going to be able to take care of the volume, when it comes. So now we have pivot to getting a fulfillment center on board, that can help to position the company to scale.
Oh my gosh. I can't imagine just like whipping up something in my living room and just and then boom. Now you gotta worry about fulfillment centers,
Yes.
inventory. You gotta manage people and all of that. Like, are you managing them on your own or do you have someone helping you?
Well, I am, but I've been really blessed with the team that I have right now. So, like, manage, I wouldn't even consider it as managing, more like everybody's just team members
Okay.
because they work so diligently. I don't have to micromanage anyone. We just know what to do.
In doing this, did you ever seek out any coaching or consulting or anything like that to launch the brand?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
It wasn't good.
Okay, 'cause
It
it could go either way with
can
those
go
types of
either
things.
way, yes. But I've been like just reading a lot. Like what I don't know, I will go to Google or I might find someone that I can really, really like get advice from or possibly to network with. But in terms of like paying to go to like business conference or business brunches, what you really need to know is not going to be discussed there because sometimes they don't know either.
I can understand that. That's just a place to network and everything.
Yes.
You might get lucky and find somebody in there who
Yes.
knows somebody that knows somebody that knows a thing or two. But yeah. Was it like a large investment initially to start the brand?
Well, to make the products, no, it wasn't, but our first like advertisement, it cost $2,000. And that was very challenging to find because initially we were in the natural ear and support group on Facebook, but when I realized that okay, this can become a business, but at the same time I need to get that word out. I had reached out to a popular media page on Instagram and they quoted me 2,500 for a promo on their account. And I was wor still working as a waitress at the time, but for some reason, it's like my money just couldn't get beyond $2,000. So I reached back out to them 2 months afterwards. And bear in mind, too, I started going into that money. So I had to use a portion of my rent that I have for the next month to make it up back to that $2,000. So I reached out to them and I said, hey, I know you guys quoted me $2,500 2 months ago. But I only have $2,000 and I really want to get the word about, out for the brand. And they were happy to work with me, and they did. And within like 24 hours, like we made $4,800.
Hey, I know you're enjoying the episode, but I need you to do something really, really important for me, like right now. I need you to leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts and let the people know how much you love the Friends of Beauty podcast. See, in the podcast streets, I'm gonna let you know something. If you don't leave a review, then people don't know that the show exists, and then the show won't grow. Reviews are so essential to the continued success of the Friends of Beauty podcast, and plus, I really just want to know what you think about the podcast. I appreciate all the DMs, but a 5-star review would be even better. I would love to read your review on the show and give you a shout out for being a loyal listener. And if it's not a 5-star review, don't even worry about it, all right? Don't even worry. Just go ahead and send me an email, honey. We ain't got time for that. If you're watching me on YouTube, don't forget to subscribe, give this video a thumbs up, and even leave a comment to share a takeaway from something that you learned so far. If you don't subscribe or give a thumbs up, then the YouTube streets don't know that the Friends of Beauty podcast exists either. You see how this is going? This is a group effort, and I appreciate you so, so much. Okay, I'm done. Let's go ahead and get back into the episode. I like, so you got your investment back plus some.
Yes.
That is really cool. I really like the idea, the fact that you said, you know, I told them, like, this is what I got. That's all you could do is ask. They could have
just,
like, no, girl, it's $2,500, but you asked and they took it.
They took it.
Mm-hmm. And that just really speaks to the sacrifices that we be making for our businesses that nobody really talks about. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm sure it's other people out here who have had to take a portion of their rent or a portion of, you know, some money that was intended for something else just to make something work. But it's those, like, calculated risks that we take some time that set us up for success. Look at you now.
Yeah, and I was so nervous the night before that I was going to be rent, because, again, a portion of my rent was in it. And at the time, I had a housemate, and I was like, Lord, please let this work, because I have to find my half of the rent. You know, she doesn't even know what I'm over here doing.
Right?
So I was like, Lord, just please let this work.
Yes, and now the brand is growing. So you started with one product. Now you have lots of products all over your site. Yes. What was were you intentional about that as well, as far as, okay, you started with the serum and then the products that came afterwards?
Yes. Yeah, so the products that actually came afterwards, you know, you have to listen to your consumers, and it's not just hair loss or just wanting to grow your hair. That's not the only concern that they have. You know, there are people looking for products to moisturize their hair. Some may have bad dandruff, you know, wants to control dry scalp. So it's just a matter of listening to our consumers and providing them with what they need.
Yeah. Yeah. With so many natural hair products on the market now, how do you feel like you stand up to them as far as wanting to expand the brand and, you know, grow the brand when you're up against like the Mayels and the those type of people?
Well, firstly, it is good that there are other natural hair brands on the market. As I mentioned before, that our community was relatively small, but you know, everyone has their crowd, and I can't reach everybody, so kudos to those brands as well. But I am focused on, you know, that building Black Luxury to be the next big brand as well. So as long as you remain true to your community, what your customers love are transparency, you know, they love quality, and we're committed to that, then I'm really not worried about, you know, anybody else. Because even if you look at our starting point, obviously, you know, there is a market for everyone as long as you want to do it. Because when I started, you had other hair care brands as well, and we're still able to cut through the noise and be where we're at right now.
Yes, ma'am. I know that's right. I know. Were you using, when you first initially launched the brand, were you using PCOS as a like a selling point for it? Were like specifically trying to target other people who had PCOS, or was it just the symptom of what was going on with the hair in particular?
So I never really used PCOS like as a marketing tactic. Okay. Mm-hmm. I will share like my story, because I mean, people do want to hear your story as to why the brand was created. But initially, yes, we were like a hair growth brand, but after realizing that, hey, people had other concerns to not just hair growth, we pivot to a natural hair brand. So that's, and even our newly released collection, the Papaya Paradise collection, it is formulated for type 4 hair. So for persons looking for products to style their hair on a daily basis, to keep moisturized and keep their hair hydrated, like that's a great collection of products to add to your cart.
Nice. Were you the face of the brand when it first launched, or have you always kind of been behind the scenes?
Girl, I'm still behind the scenes.
I was scrolling through your page. I was like, "Where's she? Where's she at?"
Yes, I'm still behind the scenes. I mean,
I mean,
I will show up now and then, but I'm still behind
yeah,
the
and that works for you, because I know some people who probably want to launch a brand but feel like
Yes.
they have to be in the, like, all up in people's face on social media to make it successful. How do you make it work in your favor, being
And
behind the scenes?
that's a great question because truth is, when we just started, that was like one of the most intimidating factor for me. I wasn't really a social media, and I'm still not really a social media type of person. So you wouldn't see me like doing vlogs or just posting, sharing like my day-to-day lifestyle. And I was like, I used to look at other even in the hair care space, like other brands, I was like, do I have to do this? Do I have to be like her? And that's where marketing really comes in, because at the same time, if you have a business, your business should be able to stand up and still be a business even if you're away from it. So that is why you need a marketing plan, a marketing manager, and a strategy to keep your business in place, so that even if you are not the face of the company, you still have a business. So to answer your question, yes, it was a bit intimidating for me initially, but I realized that no, this can't be the way out. This is not the strategy. And even when I was in Jamaica and I was like, being a teller was just, that's the like the only job I really had to deal with people like face to face. But outside of that, I've never really held a job where, I have to be talking to people. As you can see here, it's a warehouse. There's not, much activity, people coming in. So this is not the most for
Yeah, I feel
me.
that's. Are you an introvert?
Yes.
Yeah, she's like, I mean, that speaks to a lot of people
Yes.
in the industry. Everybody, and I love the fact that you're so successful and you're an introvert and you're not the face of your brand. It just shows that it can be done.
It can
Because
be
like I
done.
said, I know it's people out here that I know a lot of people who struggle with social media, and they're just like, I just can't post. I just people seeing me, or just
That's
it's just
me.
not comfortable. So it really can
Yes.
hinder people to think that they won't be successful. I know when I first became a makeup artist, I felt the same way. I wouldn't consider myself an introvert. I kind of go back, like, in between introvert, extrovert, or whatever. But all the makeup artists that I saw that were successful were the people who had these big personalities. You know, they just light up the room and everything. And I was like, well, if I have to be like that, then I probably won't make it too far.
Yes. Y
But you can
yes,
be
I felt
yourself. Yeah,
the
but you could be yourself and still, you know, be
same way
successful.
too.
Yes. So what made you come over to the States?
Better opportunities. At the time too, when I was in Jamaica, I was doing my degree in accounting, and I just wanted to use that degree to get a well-paid job, possibly on Wall Street or something as like a big accountant or a financial analyst. So it was like trying to get, like opportunities, better opportunities.
Yeah, for sure. Are your siblings and a lot of your family still back in Jamaica?
My two sisters, they're here. My mom, she's still in Jamaica.
Nice. Okay. Are they entrepreneurs as well?
No. one of them is doing her degree in nursing right now, and the other one, she is an insurance agent.
Nice. Somebody got to be a doctor, a lawyer, something.
Yes. Oh,
I always tease people. I have an IT degree that I never really used, but I have an aunt until this day. She's like, "You still doing makeup? Like, when you go use your degree?" Like, that ship has sailed. So you said prior to doing this business, you were a waitress.
yes.
Where were you working?
Applebee's.
Applebee's, yes.
Yes.
I love the little salads back in the day. So from Applebee's to launching this brand. So are you doing this full time now?
Yes.
Okay, cool. So who's the guy that's on your page?
Oh, that's my fiancé.
Beyonce. Ooh.
Yes.
So what is it like operating your business with your significant other?
We match each other very well. He is the person that deals with like the operations, the inventory part, supply chains. So he will like ensure that the packages are delivered to the customers, our pallets are delivered to our distributors. So we work very well together.
Nice. Did he have any entrepreneurial, or had he done anything like this before?
No.
Oh, that's right. Y'all just getting it done.
Okay.
I love that. Is it ever a concern of like, not that I'm wishing this, y'all engaged to be married, but is it ever a concern with working with your significant other of like, you have to sign a contract with each other? Is it like a verbal thing? Like, okay, if this doesn't work out, relationship wise, are you still gonna work in the business or like, how's that gonna work?
No, we don't have like that contract in place. And I'm not saying people don't change, but so far, like we've been really, really cool. Like money is never like any like money is just not a part of our relationship. Like I mean it's important, but like in our relationship, money.
Any tips for people who want to work with their significant other? I know one of my best friends in particular, she has a partner and they try to operate the business together, but I don't know. Because, especially if it's your baby, like this is like your baby. So, how would you suggest somebody go about partnering or, successfully partnering with their significant other so the business can run aside from personal like matters too?
I think my best advice would be you have to listen to each other. There are gonna be like some things you may be stronger in that he's not, but at the same time, you should be able to be on neutral grounds. So communication is definitely key. And if you can't communicate, you really can't work together.
True, true. Maybe get somebody else to do it. Maybe Bae
Yes.
can't do it. So right now, what's working for you all in the business as far as moving the needle towards expansion and everything?
So right now, I would say one, we are more stable. As mentioned earlier, we have pivot to being remote and onboarding a fulfillment center. And that has been a huge help for us because now we're able to scale the company. So like staffing isn't really a factor anymore. Also, even customer service, we have outsourced customer service as well, because if you're preparing your company to scale, you have to scale everything. So we have outsourced customer service. Like we want to know that if let's say someone sent a message at 3 a.m. in the morning, someone is there to answer.
Wow.
So yeah, so we have decided to outsource a customer service team, or accounting team. We have also expanded that as well. So it is really good to know that we are able to de-stress from like all the staffing issues now to like the fulfillment center and everybody that we have onboarded to help make it a smooth running.
Yeah, with the customer service, are you all using VAs?
No, our customer service team is actually in the Philippines.
Like virtual assistants though.
Yes.
Okay. I've been looking into that too. VAs. I know they have like PH jobs online and like all these other places that you can look for them and everything.
Yeah, and even if when you call Amazon, sometimes like most of the customer service agents, they are foreign. Most of them are overseas in the Philippines.
Yeah, I know. I be catching the accent sometimes. Sometimes they get you. The accent be real good. You be like, okay, I might have got somebody stateside. And then you be like, they done transferred me to the Philippines, honey. It used to be India back in the day, a while ago. It used to be India all the time.
India, yes.
Like, but I think the Philippines got it on lock now. Dang, I always do this. It's always something else I'll be thinking about asking, but then I forget. And I said I was gonna get a notepad to like write down with myself. So we talked about what's working, what's not working, what wasn't working that you all kind of like X'd.
Staffing was always our biggest issue,
Okay.
staffing, because the most important set of people in our company are those who prepare the orders to send out. And if they don't come in today, like you're in serious problems.
Yeah.
It's like having a restaurant and your cooks are
Right,
not there.
right.
Right. So that's actually the challenge that we had. Like we do have like persons who are dedicated that stay with us even up to today's date. They've been here from inception, but at the same time, they can only do so much. And if you're trying to scale their company and grow, you can't overwork them because they're going to end up walking away.
Yeah.
So that's what wasn't working for us before.
Nice. Okay. So what does your day-to-day look like? Or how do you structure your days or your schedule so that you could, operate your business but also still have time for yourself, for your relationship, for your family? Like how are you working out everything?
So every morning I start my day off with a prayer, and I have the Bible app. So I read, it sends like Bible verses per day. So I start it off with faith. I check my emails. I come in. Sometimes I have a meeting with my accountant. I try to work Monday to Thursdays and take Fridays off, if I can. If not, I will still work on a Friday. But I used to work like 24 hours
Yeah.
per day, but now I'm trying not to have myself burnt out that much anymore. So I'm kind of trying to stick into a 9 to 5 schedule for myself.
Know that's right. So what exactly is your role in the business now?
Well, I'm still CEO, so my role is one, like each collections that we're coming out with, I ensure that the products are formulated to standard. Everything is being, run smoothly. So I still have a heavy task. I have to meet with my accounting team. I've meeted everybody.
Yeah.
Thinking about it, no, I do have to meet with everybody.
Yeah, so
Yeah, I still have to meet with everybody. So it's just a matter of ensuring that everything is run smooth.
I know. Okay, I like that. God, that's like the hardest struggle for me. I always make these schedules for myself and it end up not even sticking to it. I'm like, okay, on this day I'm gonna focus on this. This day I'm gonna do this. It never works. It never works for me.
Well, to stay on schedule, I have an assistant, and all these years I never knew that I needed an assistant until last, I think it's last year, March. Yes, I got an assistant because I used to be the one to do everything, but having her, like, it has really made life a lot easier for me because she's the one that keeps me on schedule.
And she's there physically with you?
Yes.
Maybe I need an assistant. Every time I talk to somebody, I'm like, maybe I need that. Maybe I need an assistant. Maybe I need to get some VAs and a marketing person and a this. Is there anybody that you need to add to your team now?
Not right now.
Okay,
Not
good.
yeah, not right now. Yeah, we're good right now.
Okay, cool beans. So when you think about just your contribution to the natural hair community, to the beauty industry, or anything like that, is there like a legacy that you're working towards building? Have you thought about that, or it's just like I'm making products?
Yes, and my legacy is more purposeful. Like, I want to leave a mark in the community. I want to be a role model as well, like for the next brown girl like myself that wants to start her own business. She can see me as someone that, like, she can see herself through me and say, if Charisse William did it, I can do it too. And also, apart from just putting out great products, you just want to have a fulfilling and rewarding feeling, of seeing your products on the shelf. It's a household name in the community. So that's what we're exactly working towards.
Yeah. And I forgot to ask you how you came up with the name Black Luxury.
Well, the black part is actually a play on words. Our products are really for the textured hair, the black community. But instead of spelling BLACK, I do BLAQ. So it's a play on words. And the luxury is the quality of the products that we put out.
Nice. Okay. Is there anything coming up next for the brand that you can share with us?
Yes. So we have a new line of products just released yesterday, the
Okay.
Papaya Paradise Collection. It's on blackluxuryhair.com. And in a month to come, it will also be into the beauty supply stores. And talking about beauty supply stores, we're in over 4,000 beauty supply stores domestically, and we are in beauty supply stores in the UK as well.
Wow, okay.
We're on Amazon too, 2-day shipping,
Are
Prime.
you all in Jamaica yet too?
Yes.
Y'all in Jamaica as well?
Yes, we're in Jamaica. We're in the Caribbean too. We're in AT, Trinidad. We're in a lot of the Caribbean islands and in South America. So Our next big step is to go into the mass retail stores like Walmart, Target, and Sally's. So just, you know, look out for anything new on our social media page.
That is just the coolest thing. And I just over here, because I know there are people who are like entrepreneurs, like serial entrepreneurs, but then there's you who just created a product. Like, what does this do to you mentally? I'm trying to figure out how I want to ask, like, just the fact that you were, I don't want to say ordinary, because you're not ordinary. You had your accounting degree, you came over, you were making your way through this American landscape, but you had no intention of ever having a brand like this. So to go from, you know, just being a waitress, you know, you had plans on, you know, being in the finance industry, but to grow a brand in this way and your life is just so different from like how you imagined it to be, like what goes on up here? Like, do you have any regrets, or I don't know.
Well, no regrets, but it is a very humbling experience for me. And I still feel the same way as how I did like 5 years ago. It's like, you know, like money just doesn't define my purpose or anything. So it's like just a great feeling. The most rewarding feeling is seeing my products on the shelf. Like every time I walk into a beauty supply store and I see it, it's like, I just can't believe that you take something out of your head and it's on the shelf. Like someone can just walk by and pick up your product, you know, and check it out. So like, that is just a feeling I can't get over. You know, but I think all the hard work that I have put in so far, on a day-to-day basis, it's just surreal. It's just surreal just to see everything. But at the same time, I'm just still humble and grateful, you know, for where I'm at. And because a lot of businesses, you know, don't even make it past the first year. And here we are 4 or 5 years afterwards. So I'm just grateful.
Good. I can't wait to see how the brand continues to grow. Like, this is very exciting. Like, beauty supply stores, Amazon, like all of the things. That's really cool. Really cool. So before I let you go, I have to ask you the Friends and Beauty rapid fire questions. I know you've been thinking about it, girl. I know you've been thinking about it. So whatever comes to your mind first, just spit it out. If you need to elaborate, that's fine too.
Okay.
So the first one is, what are the top three keys to your success so far?
The top three keys to my success, patience, faith, and good support, good support system.
Excuse me. How do you measure your success?
I measure success based on my consumer experience. So if my customers are happy, you know that you're doing something good.
You know, that's right. What is the best advice you've ever received, or a piece of advice that's always stuck with you?
So a piece of advice is, one, you just have to be like, nothing, Rome isn't built in one day. You know, and sometimes things may just seem rocky and everything, and you just feel like you're ready to throw in the towel. But at the same time, you just got to know that, you know, you have to go through it. You have to break through it. And everything doesn't happen overnight. And like, that has manifested itself so much times during this business.
Absolutely. Yeah. What advice would you give to another brand owner, a beauty brand owner, who's just not seeing the results that they want in their business, and they're just ready to just give it up?
So you'll have to you know, evaluate what's wrong, because that's the first thing. To make a change, you have to know what's wrong first. And it doesn't even have to be the marketing that's wrong. It can also be like other internal issues. So you have to, one, find a problem, and two, find a solution. And the solution most times is you're having the wrong people, you know, doing the what you need to be fixed. So I would say either, one, network and find people that can help you, or two, hire somebody else that's more knowledgeable than you that can assist.
Yeah, I like that. Okay. I be always, like, the thing that holds me back in business, like, if I hire people, I might have to fire them one day. I might have to get somebody, I might have to hire somebody to fire people when they're not working out. Anywho, what is a resource that helps you in your business that you can share with the Friends and Beauty community?
Well, now chat AI, artificial intelligence, is very important. Like, it gets us by so quickly. You want to type up a letter. So I think every small business should invest into having artificial intelligence.
Nice. How are you all using it in the business?
Like to do letters, we send a lot of emails, so it does save time to do it. Instead of, proofreading, it will make it sound better.
Yeah,
Yeah,
I
so that's
believe you.
definitely a great tool to have. And also too, another good tool is Planoly, which are yes. So every business should have those two tools.
Nice. I've been using Chat GPT every now and then. And then I was just talking to a friend of mine yesterday, and the way that he responded to me, it was something I needed something for my business. He had somebody take pictures for me for my event a couple of weeks ago. So I was asking about the pictures, and the way he responded to me, I was like, stop using AI. I was like, stop using Chat GPT to respond to me because we're friends. Like, why are you doing this? And then he said, oh, the Android has an AI feature now that he's been playing around with.
Casually speaking, I would use Chat GPT, but like for doing like formal letters, it's good to have.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, so the last one, I just want you to fill in the blank and just say, my name is blank, Charisse, and the key to longevity and success is blank, like whatever you think it is.
My name is creative and visionary Charisse, and the key to longevity is faith.
Yeah, that's right. You gotta have faith, y'all.
Faith.
Gotta have that faith and hold it tight. Hold on to
Yes.
it tight in this entrepreneurship journey. Before you go, please share your social media, your Instagram, whatever you want people to do to connect with you, to buy the products in store, online, however you, whatever you want to share.
Yes, so we are in over 4,000 beauty supply stores domestically. We're on Amazon.com and we're Prime too. Our website is blackluxuryhere.com, and we're also launching on Walmart.com very, very soon as well. So if you guys need to shop our products, those are like 4 to 5 different channels in which you can find us.
Yay, I'm so excited for the future of this brand and so proud of everything that you have done so far. It's like so inspirational, and I know somebody is going to resonate with this so much. And thank you so much for sharing with us so openly.
Thank you so much for having
You're welcome. This is
me.
incredible. Thanks for listening to the Friends in Beauty podcast. Don't forget, sharing is caring. If you enjoyed this episode, share it with another friend in beauty. Give it a thumbs up and subscribe, rate, and leave a 5-star review so that other friends in beauty can find the show. Plus, we'd love to hear your feedback. Connect with us on all social media platforms at Friends in Beauty, hashtag Friends in Beauty to join the conversation, and join our Friends in Beauty Facebook community to stay connected. Talk to you soon.